serious civil war has been going on for more than 10 years. It is the world's largest humanitarian crisis, according to Charles Lister of the Middle East Institute, with nearly 7 million refugees and most people living in poverty. So what is the state of the war? Borzu Duragahi has been in Syria over the months and years. He is international correspondent for The Independent, and he's in Istanbul on Skype. Hi there.
Hi.
So many people remember the pro-democracy protests in Syria in 2011 and then the brutal crackdown by authoritarian leader Bashar al-Assad. Can you give us an idea of where things stand now?
Well, it is a sort of frozen conflict situation. The regime of Bashar al-Assad is essentially victorious. It has stamped out the rebellion with the help of Russian air power and Iranian-backed militias and Iranian military advisors. And, you know, it's a sort of a stalemate at this point with the regime controlling most of the country, but huge enclaves under the control of rebel groups in the northeast. There's the Syrian Kurds, who control a sort of rather large territory in the northwest. There is a Turkish-controlled influence run by Turkey's armed clients in Syria, as well as another enclave that is basically under the sway of a jihadi group that is a kind of a descendant of al-Qaeda. But, you know, there you have it. You have the country in this sort of frozen conflict, these separatist enclaves growing.
Interestingly enough, you reported on Syrians who both support the fight in Ukraine against Russia and have given advice for Ukrainians there based on the brutal treatment that they have received, and they blame Russia for that. Can you explain the connections between the long-going war in Syria and what's happening in Ukraine?
Well, essentially the same tactics that were used by Russian forces in their war in Chechnya in the late 90s were then used again against the Syrian rebels just a few years ago, until a few years ago. And, you know, those sort of brutal tactics became very clear earlier this year, were becoming the same kind of tactics that Russia was using against the Ukraine during its invasion. And so I spent a couple days there in Syria, in the northwest of Syria, speaking to people who were very closely watching what was happening in Ukraine, both out of solidarity and because a Russian defeat in Ukraine would have implications for them, they concluded, and they're probably accurately, but mostly just because they felt sympathy for what the Ukrainians were going through.
So I assume that the place in the northwest that you were talking about that is not in Assad's hands is the area that is sometimes called Little Syria?
Yeah, there's this sort of enclave that includes Turkish-influenced parts of Syria and this jihadi-controlled part of Syria that is turning into, like, you know, the world's next autonomous region with its own economy developing, a bit of a construction boom, life coming back to normal because of this ceasefire that's been brokered since 2020 that was brokered between Russian President Vladimir Putin and Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan. And this area has somewhat flourished, even though there's so many, many, many problems.
But tell me about how the people are coping more than 10 years of what is essentially a very brutal war. International groups say that Bashar al-Assad has used chemical weapons at times against his own people. And they are now, as we mentioned, most Syrians are below the poverty line. What kind of effect has this had on the population?
I mean, Syria, all across the board, is in a terrible situation. You know, the country's humanitarian situation is dire, both in regime-controlled areas and outside of regime-controlled areas. Corruption is rife. You know, armed groups, whether they are jihadi groups in rebel areas or pro-Assad mafias in regime-controlled areas, they basically dominate neighborhoods and villages. They take whatever people have, and the value of the Syrian currency has collapsed and plummeted over the last 12 years. And as you pointed out, you know, maybe half the country has been displaced, either internally or externally, and become refugees. You see that more in Europe and Turkey, of course, where most of the refugees are headed. But really, Syrians are becoming a presence in almost every European country as they flee the war and settle down in parts of Europe.
Why do you think this conflict has fallen out of the headlines in many areas?
Well, it's I think that's a good question, because it's still a very dangerous situation. The main war has ended, but there's still a lot of tensions there between Iran and the United States, between Israel and the United States. So there's this potential for Syria to explode again. But I think that, you know, to some extent, it's not a dynamic conflict anymore. And, you know, if you're scouting around looking for heroes and good guys, there's very few of that. There's very few good guys to rally around. The popular rebellion has been crushed and defeated. The pro-democracy activists are either dead in prison or in exile. You know, so for us Westerners, there's few people to support in this situation.
That is Borzu Dargahi, international correspondent at The Independent. He's also senior fellow at the Atlantic Council, speaking with us about what's happening more than a decade into Syria's civil war. Borzu, thank you so much.
It's been a pleasure.